In 1943, not so long ago, a Hollywood trade publication called Motion Picture Herald, or Fame, conducted a poll of movie theater owners across the country. The poll was to determine the outstanding young movie personality whom those exhibitors felt most certainly would be the star of tomorrow. When the results were in, the name that led the list is the name of our guest today, Van Johnson. Welcome to Those Were the Days.
These are the days, Chuck. These are the good old days, baby.
These are the good days.
Yeah, but they were fun where we went through them. That was fun, the Tiffany era, the golden era, the whatever. But I wouldn't want one day of it again, Chuck. Not one day. No, that was somebody else that did all those pictures. I'm happy today. For the first time in my life, I didn't know what happiness was till I got out of that long-term contract. And I'm not knocking studios or anything. But, you know, you couldn't go to the bathroom without asking permission. It sounded glamorous and wonderful. But we worked hard. 5 pictures a year. We used to work Saturdays in those days on Saturday nights.
You had a long day, too.
Yes. I don't remember ever seeing the sunshine except on Sunday. We drove to the studio in the morning in the dark, and we didn't get out till dark at night. But I was young then.
You're young yet.
I feel that I'm younger today than I am. Yes, you're right. I'm glad to scratch that. Okay.
You like what you're doing today?
I love what I'm doing today. I love soup. I love, there's a girl in my, and I love being out here at Arlington Heights. They're terribly nice people to work for, and it's a beautiful new theater. And I just hope that the people of Illinois will come and support it. No, I live very happily in New York, Chuck. I have a lovely penthouse in the East River on Sutton Place. Mm-hmm. When I'm there, but I've got 1 foot in Europe and 1 foot on the coast. I just did the Doris Day show. And then I did a picture in Rome just before I started this tour, which I have to go back when we close here and dub, loop.
And you're doing a lot of television commercials, aren't you?
Thank God. Mr. Mayor wouldn't let me do those in those days.
Now, that's nostalgic. You're recreating some of the great MGM pictures from the past. You're in a lifeboat in one and
B-25. B-25. Yeah, 30 seconds over Tokyo. For post-fortified old flakes, yes. Thank God for Mrs. Post. I'm going to marry her.
Do you remember the poll that I mentioned earlier?
No.
I bet you were the subject of many polls.
I guess so, Chuck, but I never kept scrapbooks. No. The only thing I saved was money. I never read publicity about myself, and I never read notices, and I still don't to this day. But I was so busy learning lines and just keeping up my strength. It takes the cream of vitality, Chuck.
When did you start with MGM?
I graduated in 34, when, you know, 35, 36, about 35 or 36. Mm-hmm. I went out for Warner Brothers first, but they didn't know what to do with me.
I
still don't.
I found some conflicting reports about Van Johnson's number one movie, the first picture that you made. I've read that Too Many Girls and Murder in the Big House
with Faye Emerson was Warner Brothers, but Too Many Girls was George Abbott, Lucille Ball, Desi, RKO, and George Abbott took about 5 of his favorites out from the Broadway show. And thank God I was one among. And that's when I got bitten and hooked on California. California was lovely and lush in those days. There was no smog in there. But I would walk around the sets at RKO and look at Carol Lombard shooting with Charlie Lawton in They Knew What They Wanted. Yeah. And Lupe Velez was doing the Spitfire. Since you like nostalgia, I'm dropping all these names.
Good.
And Irene Dunn was shooting something with Randy Scott. And Orson Welles was doing Magnificent Ambersons. And Michelle Morgan was doing Joan of Paris. It was an exciting industry in those days. But I don't like to go out there now. When I do, I just go right from the airport to the studio and do my work and get out fast.
Well, it's good.
We had the best of it, Chuck. What?
I think so. I was going to say, it's good to have those nice memories of
Chuck. I never grew up. Yes, I'm thrilled to meet talent. You know, I did the Cup show, God bless him, the other day, Saturday. You know, my biggest thrill was to meet Lawrence Welk. He was on the show with me, and he gave me an autographed copy. I think he's one of the nicest gentlemen in the business. Uh-huh. And thank God another network picked up his wonderful show. There's not enough for those nice people on the tube today. But I was genuinely thrilled. And I thought, gee, I'm 55 last month. I'm still excited about meeting nice, celebrated, talented people.
Well, we're thrilled, too. And you're one of those, and you're one of our favorite talented
Thank
people.
Thank you, sir.
I want to ask you about MGM. I told you I was going to zero in on MGM because you were really the... No, I'm not going to cut in on MGM.
No, no,
you were... You made a lot of money for MGM.
And they
you
for
were
me.
In, and, all right. You were in a great many pictures.
100. I just finished.
I saw a series of MGM trailers about a week ago. You know, these previews of coming attractions. And you were in about four of them. And there was one beautiful one with Esther Williams, and Easy to Wed, I think.
Yes.
And you were dancing around in a kind of a short, not a bikini, kind of
no.
a shortcut dress suit.
It was an Eton jacket.
That's right.
Eton jacket with a sash and the thing. It was a Mexican thing, I think, Fiesta with the... Mama's nodding, so she remembers.
Ethel Smith.
Ethel Smith at that Tico Tico, yes.
And Richard Red Skelton was in the movie.
He was?
That's what they said. Richard Red Skelton is how he was billed at those days. And he was doing an inebriated politician falling
off
the
stairs. Oh, I thought you meant a little boy. I thought you meant the
No, a young actor, you know.
Yeah, I see, yes.
How long were you with MGM?
15 years.
15 years. Seems like just yesterday.
It was a sentence. Well, actually... I have a terrible claustrophobic problem, Chuck. When I drive through the gates of a studio in the morning, I think, oh, God, I can't get out of here till 6 o'clock tonight, and I get a terrible claustrophobic thing. That's what I think I like about shooting TV things, is everything's fast. I just did the Doris Day thing 2 weeks ago, and her hours are better. She starts at noon, like Paris and Madrid, and she works until 6:30 or 7. No break for lunch. Mm-hmm. It's a big buffet on the side of the set that the crew, when everybody takes what they want. And I found that I like those hours, I think, better. Didn't seem so claustrophobic, and it's a sweet little studio, and she's a dream to work with and work for. But I don't think I would ever want any of that again, no. That's what I like about doing the theater. You're only here for 2 hours, and it's that instant audience response. Yeah.
That's right. Do you enjoy meeting the public?
I like people.
Autograph hunters waiting
Thank
for you
God.
Afterward.
Uh-huh. Thank God that they still care to come back, because now all those Bobby Soxers are grown up and they're my era, and they bring their own little children to come and meet me, and they say, oh, this is what mommy goes up in the attic on a rainy day and looks at those old scrapbooks.
You're
that old man.
Face was on the cover of a lot of movie magazines in the 40s.
And they were nice magazines in those days. I don't know what kind of junk they
were. Were they pretty realistic? Did they report true stories?
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. I never fibbed. If the people interview me, I never lied.
No, but did the writers distort the interviews?
Oh, no. MGM, I think, had the best force of squad of PR people, and they sat in on all the interviews, and they sort of guided them in the right direction. And we were never allowed, asked not to have a photograph taken with a glass in our hand or a cigarette. Today, Chuck, if a photographer comes around, like in the pump room, I automatically push the glass out of the way. I don't smoke, thank God, anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I got hypnotized out of that, but I've gained 10 pounds. Now I can't stop eating. I got to call that Pat Collins and tell her to unhip me and hypnotize me back from eating.
See, out there in Radio Land, you're not the only one with a problem.
Terrible. Oh, I just came from the supermarket in that sweet little Plum Village. What a nice little locality that is. I'm going to move here. The air is so good and the people are so nice. And I notice on every shelf, Diet Pepsi, Diet this, Diet... Everything's diet, low calorie, no cal, no whatever. It's a weight-conscious age that we're living in, I think.
Did you ever have to watch your age through the years? Your weight, I mean?
But see, Mama watches you like a whore. See her take that hand down? I never watched my age. But I never thought I had a weight problem. But when I was smashed up in this accident years ago... I came out of it all right in the middle of a guy named Joe, and I went right into Two Girls and a Sailor, since you want to reminisce. Haven't heard those names in years. I started to pick up, because that accident jarred all my metabolism and my glands, and I guess. And from then on, I noticed I had to watch it. I watch it, but I don't watch it enough. There's one scene in the third act where little Vicky Kaywood puts a sailor cap on me and the thing. And I heard a little lady, a gal, the other night in the front row say, oh, he looks just like Two Girls and a Sailor. I wanted to kiss her. I was so touched.
Oh, well, how about that? They screened a human comedy on television here a couple of weeks ago, and that was a good movie.
Saroyan, yes. They don't make him like that anymore, Chuck.
Clarence Brown was the
one of my
director.
Favorite directors.
What about your directors? Which one of the directors that you've had would you say... provided the guidance necessary to make a substantial actor out of Van Johnson.
You're going to say Heflin?
No, I said Van Monroe.
Van Monroe.
Dancing with the Moon.
I'm a fan of his, too. That song was predictable, wasn't it? I think Richard Brooks, when I did the last time I saw Paris with Liz Taylor. Mm-hmm. Mervyn LeRoy in 30 Seconds Over Tokyo. Billy Wellman for Battleground. Stanley Kramer, Eddie Dimitrik for Caine Mutiny. I have to really give them all a little bit of garlic because everybody pushes you along the way. I think all the good ones do, that is. Because you have to make a lot of small canvases in between, like Remains to Be Seen with June Allison, but which I never saw. I haven't seen maybe 15 of the pictures I've made I haven't seen.
Any reason why? You didn't like them while you were doing it?
No, Chuck, it's so, when you're on a picture for weeks and weeks and weeks, and you think, oh, thank God, that one's over. It's in the can, and either you go off to Acapulco fishing, or we went to our house in Palm Springs, or I was in London, you're doing another one. And by the time it came out, I had lost interest, and no. I don't even watch them on the Late Late Show. I don't know why. I just have no interest in it. I always want to go back and do it all over again. You can go back to that canvas once too often.
What's ahead on the movie screen?
I'm not going to work until next year. I'm very lucky and I'm very grateful. I'm very rich with friends and health. I mean, that other monetary thing doesn't matter. But I haven't had a week off in like 20 years. I am really a basket case. I think I'm going to go to Europe first, to London, and then I have to dub this picture I did last, whatever, and then go to the Caribbean and just sit on the beach and contemplate my navel.
Well, that sounds...
soak up the sunshine.
A lot of lady listeners out there would like to help you do that.
Well, there's nothing to do in Caneal Bay. I go to the Rockefeller Plantation down in the Virgin Islands. But I take the paint box, I paint, and I take the books, and I told you before, I read 5 books a week. But I think when you go away, the best thing to do is nothing, and not to plan anything. People say, what did you do? What do you do down there? I said, nothing. It's almost boring, which is the time to unwind, because I'm asleep at 9:30 at night. I'm not a night man. I'm not night people.
That means you fall asleep during the second act out here at the Arlington Park Theater?
Now, Tom, that's an awful answer I could give you, but the audience doesn't like that. I could say no, the audience does, but they don't. They don't. It's a very fast, breezy show, and there's no message to it. We leave that to Western Union. It's a happy show, and I have a wonderful company around me.
And I know you're about to get ready to get your makeup on for another performance, but
those
before
freckles.
We do for a second, leave those freckles right there. Before we go, I want to back up just a little bit and ask what Van Johnson was doing before he got to Hollywood.
I was on the stage in New York for George Abbott. I did Too Many Girls and Pal Joey.
You were in New Faces, weren't
you? New Faces. He knows everything. You can't fool him. New Faces. And my first job, Chuck, was at the Cherry Lane Theater before Off-Broadway was chic. Mm-hmm. And I was told to the agent by Dick, that was my first job in showbiz, and I went down there, and there was a show just closing, and there's two kids, the leading man and the lady, were just leaving the stage door. And her name was Phyllis Eisley, and he was Robert Walker. And she became Jennifer Jones.
Jennifer Jones.
And they were young and married and happy then. And we've often talked about it and mentioned it, coming events cast their shadows. But I love the stage, and I love the theater. I'd had no intention of going into films. I think it's the most boring job in the world to sit and do those take after take after take. Sitting talking with Doris Day last week, and I thought, how do we ever do 100 pictures, Doris? The long shot, the master shot, the medium, the close-up, the over-the-shoulders. Then you're going to go in and loop it and dub it afterwards. So that when it does come out, you really have lost interest.
Well, you may have lost interest in some of them, but your fans did not.
No, and I'm very lucky.
They're happy to see you again on the television screen, on the Doris Day Show, out here at the Arlington Park Theater, and on the Late Late Movie, too. And those aren't so old. They're not so long ago.
It seems like it. It seems like another era.
Well, it was another era, but it wasn't so long ago.
It was the beautiful era, all the beautiful people.
Van Johnson, I appreciate the chance to chat with you today on Those Were the Days, and we'll see you again out at Arlington Park.
I hope so, Chuck. God bless you. Thank you for coming by.